Good day, and welcome to iAccess Alpha's Buy-Side Best Ideas Summer Conference 2024. The next presenting company is Cadiz Incorporated. If you'd like to ask a question during the webcast, you may do so at any point during the presentation by clicking on the Ask Question button on the left of your screen. Type your question into the box and hit the Send button to submit your questions. I'd now like to turn the floor over to today's host, Susan Kennedy, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Cadiz Incorporated. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Very nice to be here today. So I'm Susan Kennedy. I'm the Chairman and CEO of Cadiz. I am going to take a few minutes to introduce myself, introduce the company, and then summarize the opportunity and the value proposition. I have a 35-year career in California politics and government. Don't feel sorry for me. I was chief of staff to California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, cabinet secretary to Governor Gray Davis, his predecessor, commissioner on the California Public Utilities Commission. Then after I left government, I was the founder and CEO of Advanced Microgrid Solutions, a distributed energy company with an AI platform that was acquired by a company called Fluence. In my career, energy and water were the biggest, hairiest infrastructure projects that I had to deal with, and my job was to get the biggest, hairiest projects across the finish line. So I joined the board of Cadiz 3 years ago, and I became the chairman and CEO, became the CEO in January of this year. I'm going to now walk you through the context of the company, the assets, and most importantly, what's happening in the water industry today, because it's in the process of a major disruption, and I think the opportunities are such that they've never been before. So at a high level, Cadiz has been a public company for over 20 years, and our main asset is one of the largest groundwater aquifers in the southwestern United States. To give you an idea of the aquifer size, Lake Mead is the largest reservoir in the United States. It can hold up to 28 million acre-feet of water. That's 1 acre, 1 foot deep of water. Cadiz's aquifer is 30 to 50 million acre-feet of water. So that's nearly two times the size of the largest reservoir in the United States. There have been two hurdles to monetize our water assets all these years, and they've now been removed, allowing the company to move forward with its strategy. Number one was the California political environment. If you know anything about building in California, any major project takes 20 years to build, without question. Water faces particularly high hurdles to build. But the threat to water supplies throughout the entire southwestern U.S. and the changes in the political landscape have changed everything about the politics of water in the West. There's now a very real sense of urgency to develop access to new water resources. The second thing that has changed is the utility business model has been shattered by climate change. Until today, water projects like Cadiz were only built by public utilities. There were only one or two major utilities in Southern California big enough to buy a water storage project of our size. So we were sort of held hostage by this one project, one customer, business model of the utility world. But the destructive impacts of climate change on energy and water infrastructure throughout the world, particularly here in the U.S., has broken the utility business model beyond repair. $1 trillion of investment in critical infrastructure is urgently needed, and the utility investments won't even scratch the surface. So for the first time in our nation's history, doors open for private sector investment in water infrastructure. So by developing public-private partnerships with communities that need the infrastructure and they want to invest in the infrastructure, Cadiz has now flipped the utility business model on its head and is now entering into take-or-pay contracts with multiple public agencies for the first time in the company's history. So I'm going to take a minute and explain what's happening in the water industry today so you understand the opportunity and the massive push towards infrastructure investment. So first, to give you an idea of what the assets we have, CADIS was founded in the 1980s, but our founders used NASA satellite imaging to identify massive water resources out in the eastern Mojave Desert, and it took them more than a decade to purchase the land, swap the land, to put it together so it's a contiguous property, develop the water rights, and really put this the very basics of the asset together. Today, in the 2020s, we bought infrastructure assets, including 220 miles of pipeline from El Paso Natural Gas, which is already in the ground, crosses our property, crosses the major water infrastructure. We acquired rights of way along railroad tracks that allow us to build pipelines without additional permits from the federal government to access this, Colorado River aqueduct. We acquired technology treatment for a water treatment called ATEX system, so we can bolt on different products and services to provide a package solution for water supplies to different water agencies across a much broader market. And most importantly, is during those 15, 20 years, we've made our permits for the water supply bulletproof. It's been through 20 years of regulatory hurdles, litigation, appeals, and so we have our most important permits are bulletproof at this point. And we are now in the process of putting together what will be the largest operating, fully capitalized water bank in the southwestern United States. It's incredibly important to understand why this infrastructure is so critical. And if you look at it's not hard to understand. If you open your phone or turn on the news or open a newspaper today, what's happening with extreme weather is the hydrological cycle is spinning completely out of balance. This is the Southwest in terms of the water network. You've got Lake Mead up here in the right hand side, and you've got the major pipelines, the Colorado River Aqueduct, the LA Aqueduct, the California Aqueduct, that all feed Southern California from the Lake Mead, basically in the Colorado River, 600,000 miles away, and then the Northern California system from the Sierra Nevada is taking water to Southern California. When you look at the comparison between the aquifer system that is in under our property, compare it to Lake Mead. Lake Mead is 250 square miles. 28 million acre-feet of storage capacity. Cadiz is 2,000 square mile watershed, 1.2 million acres, with 30 to 50 million acre-feet of water in storage today. It is twice the size of Lake Mead. The aquifer is at the bottom of this 2,000 square mile closed basin. So all the water that starts way up in the watershed at 7,500 foot elevation in the New York Mountains all flows downhill in a bowl-like movement until it reaches the very bottom at 800 or 900 feet at Fenner Gap. And at Fenner Gap, it starts to cross our property, crosses our ranch, and then just a few miles below gradient, our property, all the water evaporates at the dry lakes. So it's like a massive bathtub on its side with every drop of water funneling through Fenner Gap and crossing our property at and our well field, and all of the water is being lost to evaporation. The problem is not water scarcity. We have the same amount of water on the planet today that we have had for 4 billion years. Water doesn't leave the planet. It recycles between the oceans and the mountains and the air and the rivers. And so we don't have a problem with water scarcity. We have a problem with water storage. The problem is snow. An entire water network around the globe was really designed around the concept of the snowpack. That stores our water for most of the season. It melts, it goes down into our reservoirs. But what's happening is that the snowpacks in the major areas in the West are declining. If you look at this chart, even with episodic, what they call snowmageddons, we've still seen an absolute decline in snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains of about 23% since the 1950s. And this trajectory is not going to reverse. One-way trajectory. They're projecting that as soon as the 2040s, California Sierras could be without snowpack. The same thing is happening in the Rocky Mountains in the West. So the major sources of snow and snowpack is now in for the Southern California and the Southwest are declining at a steady rate. So where we snow, it, that makes up half our water supply. Snowpack is 30%. It melts. It goes down into reservoirs, and into the groundwater. And if any of you were math wizards, you can see that that doesn't add up to, that adds up to more than 100%. The fact is we've designed, we were so secure with water supply that we take our major reservoirs and 30% of it is off limits because we need it for hydropower because we have dual use of our reservoir system. So when you have a declining snowpack, it is, it absolutely changes. It threatens the source of supply for every major population center. Extreme is the new normal. We went from the worst drought in 1,200 years to so much snow that we had catastrophic flooding in California in literally a matter of months. And what's happening here is it's called a whiplash event. In California, it started in the late 1970s when we had our first, we had before the 1970, 77, 78, the pattern between dry year and wet year was so predictable and so stable for all of our recorded history that it wasn't that extreme. But once the whiplash event started as a result of climate change, now we go from extreme drought to extreme rain in a matter of months, and our storage systems were simply not built to handle that. The future is rain. And it's not, and it's instead of snow in the north, it's rain in the south. Instead of the mountains, it's in the coast. And the problem is that all of our storage systems were built in the north. So we have our rain and snow melt moving south. And if you see where our reservoirs were built, everything above this red line, all of our storage was built to capture Sierra snowpack. So we have a massive problem in terms of being able to capture water and make it usable for communities. So where Cadiz is located is between the Colorado River system and the California system up from the State Water Project. And with our pipeline capacity, so 1 million acre feet of storage, our aquifer can hold 1 million acre feet of storage, and we're permitted for 2.5 million acre feet of new supply water that would be conserved from conservation. And with our pipelines, the new build that would take us to the Colorado River Aqueduct and the Northern Pipeline, which we purchased from El Paso Natural Gas, we will now be the center of the southwestern water world in terms of our ability to not only create new supply, but also to operate as a functioning water bank between the southwestern states, between the Colorado River and the northern systems. I'm going to give you a bit of a breakdown about how the money, the monetization of the assets work, starting with water supply cash flows. So we signed our first take-or-pay contracts in the first quarter of this year. We've had option agreements for more than a decade, but the urgency that agencies are now looking for new firm, new water supply we're the only source of new supply in the entire Colorado River Basin today. So the way it works with a take or pay contract is you have, there's three components. The agencies that are purchasing that are signing the contracts, they're 40 or 50 year contracts. They pay per acre foot per year for a 40 or 50 year contract. Those agencies absorb the capital costs, so they will pay their pro rata share of their capital costs. And if we get 50% of the capex in grants, then we can bring the capex costs down for everyone. But that comes out of the contract pay. They also absorb the O&M costs, which is mostly energy-based, in order to move the water from where it's stored to where it's going to be delivered. And then the last component is the commodity price, and that is net revenue to Cadiz. So we expect to be able to basically sell our water supply to a mutual water company that we created 15 years ago, and we expect to achieve approximately $850 per acre foot per year for those 40 or 50 year contracts. And those are all subject to an escalator tied to an index, which has roughly been about 5% per year, I would say is the rough equivalent. On the storage side, we have a capacity to import 1 million acre-feet of storage from the Colorado River or from the State Water Project on top of our water supply. And I'll give you an idea of the way of the price escalation of water, water supply, and water storage is, if you look at this chart on the left, you've got Metropolitan Water District. Their raw water cost to supply their member agencies when they have to import it from the north is $1,100 per acre-foot for new supply. That does not include the cost of moving it, the transportation costs or delivery costs. And on the right-hand side, you can see the price over the last almost 50 years. The water, 10 years ago, if you could find it, 15 years ago, it was $250 an acre-foot if you could find it. Today, it's way more than $1,500 per acre-foot for new supply, firm new supply. On the storage side, the comps, storage is like selling units in a condo complex. And we have 1 million units, and you can either purchase or lease permanently one unit or, each unit, and the cost of that, the comps on that are about $1,500 per acre foot, and that's from Semitropic and Kern and some other water banks that have been functioning for a number of years so that we know kind of what the market rate is. It's getting more expensive, or you can lease space for a period of time, we can be able to exchange water, but the market value of each unit for storage is approximately $1,500. So what we're looking at today in terms of the value of our assets, we have several different. We're a very different company today than we were 20 years ago. For any of you investors that are familiar with Cadiz, we've been around for a long time, and we've really moved away from the one project, one customer approach, and by integrating our supply, our water storage, our water conveyance, our transportation capability with our pipeline assets, and water treatment, we are now able to provide a different suite of integrated water products depending on what the location needs over a much, much broader area. So the value of the assets that we have can be broken down into our cash flow from potential assets is in the $5 billion range under our current permitting today. We have water supply, 50-year recurring cash flow stream, 50,000 acre-feet per year on average is what our permit allows us to export. So that would be approximately $50 million per year when you include the $850 in 2024 dollars and an escalator of about 5% per year. That average is about $1,000 an acre-foot. Over 50 per year for a 50-year period, so that's $2.5 billion cumulative total value from those cash flows. That's net to the company. Water storage, 1 million acre-feet of storage and $1,500 roughly market value per acre foot of storage capacity. That's $1.5 billion in cash payments from the groundwater storage. For reservation and leasing. There's also revenues from the transportation and conveyance, be able to move water in and out, the agencies will pay for movement of that water and for the water exchange. We can trade our water, some cases 2-to-1, because the quality of our water is so much higher than most of the water you would get from the Colorado River. So there's a tremendous value in the exchange of water using our water bank. And then from the water filtration company, we purchased them for, it was a purchase of assets 2 years ago. We bought it for $2 million. We're expecting to see, our forecast is $15 million in revenue in 2024 with a EBITDA of close to $4 million. And we're expecting double-digit growth for the next 5 years. So these are incredibly valuable assets. The annuity value, NPV of the assets we have today, net to Cadiz, we expect to be approximately $1.7 billion. And there is tremendous upside potential. We've got additional pipelines that cross our property, and we are looking to potentially acquire. We have, which would expand our wheeling and exchange capabilities. There's additional water supply and additional storage capability. because there's such an urgent push for additional resources that we believe that that there'll be a lot of opportunity for flexibility managing the groundwater basin that we are today. Plus, we are 45,000 acres out in the Mojave Desert, so we have quite a bit of interest in using our land for the development of hydrogen and development of solar. And we also have an operating agriculture business that we're actively operating. So that's basically the size and scope of the company and the assets. We're now in the process of putting together the business model, a public-private partnership business model that allows us to finance the construction of the project using an MLP structure, a master limited partnership structure. So it's very different from a utility business model. And in this case, we have the right of public agencies that are coming in and public entities that have equity capital that wish to invest in the infrastructure as limited partners. These are entities that can access government funding, government grants, and a lot of the philanthropic funding that we believe can tap into more than 50% of the CapEx, and Cadiz will be the general partner. So the big takeaway is that we're moving to a we're a very asset-rich company, and under the MLP model, we'll be moving to a very asset-light company. So we'll have a very it'd be a very substantive impact on our balance sheet and allow us to monetize the assets and move the capital costs and the operating costs off to special purpose entities through a public-private partnership. So with that, I'm going to open the floor for questions, and hopefully we have the opportunity to get through as many questions as we can. I am go to the Q&A. Sorry, this is my first time on this. Here we go. First question is, when will you have contracted all your capacity in both the north and south? Does it make sense to hold off on contracting some capacity to take advantage of spot market sales? And as a follow-up, are the prices in your contracts fixed, or do they change based on spot market demand? Very good question. We are right now contracting on the northern pipeline because the northern pipeline is already in the ground, so we will be it'll be the fastest in terms of construction. We have to put in pumping stations, turnouts, and convert the pipeline from gas to water, and that's a standard construction project that requires a couple more permits. They're pretty typical permits, and we will be able to, although this will be the first time that we're converting a gas pipeline to carry water. So there'll be, it'll take us probably 8 months to do that, and we'll be doing it simultaneous with development and construction. And we've contracted 65% of the northern pipeline capacity to date. I've got another contract in the wings that's pretty far along. I can't say who it is, but we've already announced that we're in the very late stages. We have the southern pipeline will come next. That's another 25,000 acre feet of water for a total capacity of about 50,000. And we wouldn't necessarily, we're not going to rush to close contracts at a price that's not attractive. But once we lock those contracts in, they are 40 or 50 year contracts. And so we wouldn't, we might hold back some of the supply flexibility. Our water in storage is already in the ground. So we have 1,000 years of water already in storage at Cadiz. So there, we have the, as long as we have the pipeline capacity, we can actually be using water that's not under a firm capacity contract for spot market. But that's exactly the kind of flexibility that we are looking for. And I think I answered that, all those questions there. Next one is, no, there's no other question. I think I answered the question. The prices are structured the way I laid them out in that chart, and they're available on the SEC with our SEC filings. They're including a cap, so 65 $1,650 cap with an assumption that we work together with these agencies to access as many grants as possible and access as many even grants for things like low-cost energy, like solar and hydrogen and other energy, so that we can bring the operating cost down, which we expect to be very successful in, so that the net price to the contracting agency is as close to $1,000 an acre foot as possible. And that would be a good price for water for an agency to lock in for 40 or 50 years. But the rest of the water in the aquifer that we expect to be able to monetize, we'd be able to use it in the spot market. If there are no other questions, I am going to end the conference. Let me see if I... Oh, sorry about that. I can see. There we go. What does the business look like after you get the Northern and Southern pipelines operational, ATEC running at capacity, and any other services you're offering? Please address the revenue and margins for each segment and years of impact. I don't have margins on every aspect yet today, but if our infrastructure costs are brought down by the grant funding that's available, and the federal government is pushing tens of billions of dollars out the door for everything from pipeline conveyance, storage, and even water treatment, that we believe that we're going to be able to create incredible margins on our water products because of the combination of our low-cost assets and also the grants available. We expect the business to look like a water solutions company, very asset light, and with the ability to monetize the assets by creating different types of water products, whether it's water treatment, water supply, emergency supply, backup supply, hedging instruments, water exchanges. We believe with an operating functioning bank, we'll be able to design a new level of water products for exchange and trade throughout the Southwest. The ATEC, please discuss the ATEC business model. Is there a backlog of business, and when will it impact the P&L, and what are the GMs? So we have, it's an asset company that when they develop these modular systems, and we filed two patents on them already. It's a unique design and very versatile. It can scale up and it can scale down. And there is a backlog. We have two very big contracts that came in, one for the central utility in Utah and another one in Oregon. And so they are, they're really focused on delivering on those contracts. And plus we've won a dozen small contracts. I don't think there's been an RFP that we have not succeeded in. But they are, the cycle for these products is generally a couple of years, because these are public agencies that are contracting that go through their contracting process. And so there is a backlog today, and we believe that the market opportunity is astounding. And our limitation will be, in scaling up our manufacturing capability. I believe we have plenty of time to do that, to be able to capture the market value. And we'll be focusing on that. It's already impacting our bottom line in terms of our revenue. Like I said, we have an EBITDA closer to $4 million this year to Cadiz, and we just bought it for $2 million 2 years ago. What regions are we seeing the most demand from? It depends on the product, but I mean, Southern California supply is critical in the southwestern U.S. Supply, particularly emergency supply, is huge. But I think the demand in the southwestern United States is pretty astronomical. And as I said, it's mostly about storage. So we are uniquely located. You can't replicate our storage bank. You can't replicate our infrastructure. You couldn't build a 200-mile pipeline in Southern California today if your life depended on it. All right. And so we've locked up the assets that allow us to build the infrastructure to serve this market in the Southwest. How far and how far north and how far south can your system reach? You know, water goes where it's cheapest to go, where it's at least expensive to flow. The water market is really about exchanges. And so with the pipeline capacity where we can move water between water banks, and we can exchange water between Southern California, Northern California, Arizona, Nevada, and Southern California. So we can really reach the entire southwestern United States. And I believe with that, I'm going to have to end this, and I will answer questions that have been submitted and I didn't get to. We'll be able to answer those in the very near future. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. That concludes Cadiz Incorporated's presentation. You may now disconnect. Please consult the conference agenda for the next presenting company. Thank you for joining us for the presentation portion of the conference. We hope you can join us for our next virtual conference, the iAccess Alpha's Buyside Best Ideas Fall Conference 2024, held on September 24th and 25th, 2024. Please have a good evening.